similar, should I do those?
I would just open all three.
And a committee on finance and revenue is open. We will start off with a work session for purposes of transferring a bill to another committee. So I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 793.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 793 to the floor without recommendation and request the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits.
Senator Boquist moves Senate Bill 793 to the floor without recommendation and requests that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits.
Nope, no discussion.
No discussion. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Today's gain share day. We have three bills dealing with that subject. And so what we're going to do is open up a public hearing simultaneously on all three of those bills. And we will not be voting on any of those bills today. Public hearing only. So with that, I will open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 57, Senate Bill 129, and Senate Bill 848. Before we go to Senator Burdick, Dr. Warner has a summary of the issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your OLIS, you've got several background pieces that we put together. And, of course, this is an issue the committee has dealt with over the years. Actually came out of this committee in 2007. And there's a background piece there under meeting materials that describes the basics for the shared service fund, now called Gainshare. The way it works is that any SIP program is eligible for the Gainshare calculation. It's done based on data that the Business Development Department gets from the employer. And then DAS does a calculation estimating the amount of income tax associated with the workers there. And then calculate what amount of revenue will go into the shared service fund. That is then distributed out to the eligible counties and eligible tax districts. It's allocated based on the service fees that are part of the strategic investment program. If you look on the background piece, you can see the at the bottom there, you can see the revenue estimates that from the program, 11-13 and 13-15 are history. So those numbers are actual numbers. 11.8 million from the transferred from the general fund in 11-13, 62.3 in this biennium. Next biennium, we're projecting 94.9 million. I've broken those out in two categories. The amount of revenue associated with net new jobs and that with retained jobs. The statute says both are eligible, but you have two of the bills that you're considering today would limit the allocation to just direct new jobs, and you can see that that's about 20% of the total. So for next biennium, for example, the 94.9 million transfer from the general fund would be reduced to 20.7 million if only net new jobs were used. These projections are based on the proportion that it was in place in 13-15, so we would expect that proportion to stay the same. Another key element of the program is that it is scheduled to sunset January 1 of 2019, and it's the entire program that would sunset. So there would be no grandfathering in of existing SIP projects, would not continue under Gainshare. The program itself would end January 1 of 19. And that's why you see the 1921 numbers under current law, the general fund transfer would be zero if the sunset takes place. The second handout I have there is just shows you how the history of the gain share distributions and over the three-year period. And you can see that the overwhelming proportion of those allocations have been to Washington County tax districts. And of course, the reason for that is that's where the major SIP projects are, predominantly the Intel project has been by far the largest, and so that's how it's been allocated over the last 3 years. We'd expect that allocation to remain roughly the same going forward. The one thing that could really change our projections would be obviously a major new SIP project, and these are the kinds of things that can jump if you get a major new project come in that we don't know about right now. So this is really based on The projections we have are based on just kind of normal growth of existing projects and some expectations that the new SIP agreement with Intel will add some jobs over the next couple of years.
And Paul, what are the the projects in those other counties? Were we looking at windmills, or what are most of
them? Predominantly, in Washington County, it's predominantly Intel, but also Genentech is in Washington County as well. The other counties are predominantly the wind turbine projects that are under the rural SIP program.
In Clatsop County?
Clatsop County, I believe there's a paper mill project Clatsop County that accounts for that. So, but these data are all provided through Business Oregon. They're the ones who do the send out the survey to the firm to calculate the wages, and then that becomes the data for these calculations.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Burdick, if you could come up and testify on your bill. 848, you're testifying for 848.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Well, it's good to be back. I left the committee in very good hands. You've been doing amazing things.
We understand you turned to marijuana.
Yes, it's come to that.
Quite the gain, then. Quite the gain.
So, Chair Haas and members of the esteemed Finance and Revenue Committee, for the record, my name is Ginny Burdick. I represent the people of Senate District 18, which includes parts of Southwest Portland. And although it may be hard to believe after my testimony, also includes a good chunk of Washington County, including the city of Tigard. I'm here today to discuss Senate Bill 848, which is, I believe, a much-needed change to the existing gain share program, which is currently projected to direct some $95 million from the general fund to Washington County in the next biennium with no strings attached. Gainshare was adopted in the 2007 legislative session, which was Senate Bill 954, at the request of Washington County. It was intended to be a modest compensation package to help offset the impact on infrastructure of employees added under the Strategic Investment Program. Though a total of seven counties received gainshare benefits to date, Washington County has received 98.7% of all the funds distributed. In its advocacy for gainshare, Washington County argued that compensation from the general fund is justified because the SIP agreements with Intel and Genentech reduce potential property tax revenues by millions of dollars. In reality, as we learned in a 2012 report from Eco Northwest, which is on OLIS, Intel is the largest property taxpayer in Oregon and is responsible for approximately $106 million in direct and indirect property taxes in Washington County per year. Intel has helped make Washington County one of the richest counties in Oregon, with a per capita income that is close to $5,000 higher than the state average. In addition, the revenue impact statements provided when we passed Senate Bill 954 proved to be too low by orders of magnitude. The original revenue impact statement forecasted $600,000 in gainshare payments for the 2009-11 biennium and $4.5 million for the 2011-13 biennium. And as you've seen from the chart, the first two gainshare payments made in the fiscal years of 2013 and 14 totaled over $70 million. For the 2015-17 biennium, as we have just heard, Washington County is expected to receive an additional $94.9 million in gainshare funds. Nearly 80% of this revenue, as Dr. Warner pointed out, is for jobs that were already in place when the 2005 SIP with Intel was signed. In contrast, the other six counties combined are expected to receive around $700,000. By diverting $94.9 million from the general fund to Washington County, we are in effect robbing schools of $61 per ADMW for the 2015-17 biennium based on the current 40% allocation. If that same $94.9 million were put directly into the school funding formula, Oregon school districts would receive an additional $134 per ADMW for the 2015-17 biennium statewide. This was not the intent of the original legislation. If we don't take action, Washington County alone will receive nearly $200 million from the general fund by the time Gainshare sunsets in 2019. A modest compensation package has morphed into a program that hemorrhages millions of dollars from our general fund and disproportionately benefits one county while reducing available school funding statewide. We simply cannot afford to leave the Gainshare program untouched. Senate Bill 848 will change the existing formula and distribution model to ensure that schools and other local governments will share in the economic benefits that the SIP program has provided in Washington County. Additionally, Washington County will still receive an estimated $5.6 million in the 2015-17 biennium, which would still be more than the original revenue impact statement predicted when, by the way, I signed on to the bill and voted for it in 2007. Specifically, Senate Bill 848 will reconcile Gainshare with the original intent of the legislation by capping payments to new jobs created. Of these funds, Washington County would receive 30%, while 40% would go to the state school fund, and another 30% would be distributed to the proposed state economic development fund, which would benefit all the counties in Oregon. While I believe the Gainshare program is unfair and unnecessary, and I regret my vote, I could accept a limited sunset extension if schools are held harmless, as they are under Senate Bill 848, if the benefits are shared with other parts of the state, and if the Gainshare payments are based on new jobs only, which I believe was the intent of the original legislation. It certainly dictated my vote on it. So thank you for your consideration of Senate Bill 848. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I just want to make it really clear that this issue is not about the state implementation program, SIP program. It has its detractors, but I'm not one of them. It has been a raging success in Washington County and elsewhere in Oregon. Intel would not be here without it. This issue is also not about Intel. Intel gains no benefit from Gainshare whatsoever, even though it's their employees who account for the formula that leads to the appropriation to Washington County. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Senator Burdick, it's obvious you missed this committee being down here.
Do I sound that wonky, yes, Mr. Chair? Yeah.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
We're going to continue on this hearing. I know you have other business to tend to. We've got a list of people signed up for all of these three bills, so let me just call up a panel right now of Jody Weiser, John Mullen, and Matt Swanson. You guys realize we have a lot of people to hear from on this issue, so if you could be brief, not read in your entire written testimony, if you could just turn that over to us. Thank you.
For the record, I'm Jody Weiser, representing Tax Fairness Oregon, and this is probably one of the more important bills you'll be looking at this session, because it is, just for this coming biennium, $94.9 million, and between now and when it expires, $158 million. What we believe is that Gainshare was a mistake. It was simply a mistake, and you should end it, and none of these bills does that. The way of looking at it to see that it's a mistake is we have many, many other property tax breaks besides the SIP program. And we don't make communities payments from the income taxes for any other tax breaks, whether it's the farmer forest low taxes on their properties, enterprise zone, churches, universities, etc. We don't make payments, and yet those property tax programs that the legislature has enacted affects those the communities. It means they don't have that revenue. take this city that has 21,000 employees working in buildings like this. We don't give gain share to Salem. Why is it fair when Salem gets zero in property taxes and we give them no gain share, but Washington County collected $41.3 million in property taxes from Genentech and Intel, and we do give them gain share? It's just not logical. It's not a reasonable program to have enacted in the first place. It would be reasonable if we had billions of extra money, and every time a hospital or a university or a business in an enterprise zone were built, we sent money to the local jurisdiction to make up for the loss of property taxes. Well, we don't have the revenue to do that, and we don't really have the revenue to do this. This is a lot of money that we're not spending in our normal ways of spending it. Of the three bills before you today, Senate Bill 57 is the best. And the reason it's the best is it reduces its cost to the general fund by 73%, and it lets it expire on its normal expiration date of January 1st, 2019. So we estimate it would cost someplace between $40 and $60 million, just depending upon what happens. Senate Bill 848 does reduce to that by the same 73%, but it extends it for another 10 years. We estimate its cost at $260 million plus. And Senate Bill 129 extends it for 10 years. It's probably going to cost $450 million before it expires. We simply don't have that kind of revenue to be giving away. Unless you can fund other communities every time there's a property tax break, it's not fair to continue this one. We have inadequate funds to do that, and so it should be ended. The written testimony gives some specifics. We had people suggest to us that end gain share and put it all in K-12 education, and so we can tell you, each one of you, what that would mean in the schools that you represent. That's not really our proposal. Our proposal is it goes back to where it should have stayed all along, back to the general fund, and then you would use it for higher ed, regular ed, economic development ideas that are before you this legislative session, human services needs, the way general fund money is generally used. But you can calculate it the other way. We do have specific issues with the three bills. K-12 is made whole. Community colleges and ESDs are not. Why would we do K-12 and not community colleges and ESDs? They should get their share as well. And all three of the bills put a portion of the money into a new economic development fund without giving any definition of how that money is used. There's no sidebars at all. Is it loans? Is it grants? What are the criteria for choosing between applicants? Or is it kind of like adding it to the governor's strategic reserve fund? What is it? It's not defined in the bills, and that would be a necessary component were you to move forward with those bills. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. I'm going to jump John for a second. I'm bouncing back and forth between committee hearings, as I'm sure you all appreciate. My name is Matt Swanson. For the record, I work with the Service Employees International Union, Oregon State Council. Chair Hass and members of the committee, first of all, I just wanted to thank you for taking up this discussion. It's our belief that gain share is a program that deserves more scrutiny. I think that there will be a variety of supporters and detractors on this program, but really we wanted to zero in on two fundamental concepts. We think that in Oregon, now is the time to be investing in services, you know, whether it be our schools, things like childcare subsidies for families, or looking at services that protect seniors and people with disabilities. Gain share, we feel, really represents a double cut, if you will. So while some local governments and, we can debate the effectiveness of some of those programs, but, you know, they reduce the property tax income for the counties, then the state general fund allocation also is taking another whack at what could be going to services. I think the The important point is that I think all of these pieces of legislation, it was kind of hard one to figure out, you know, oppose, support. There's a variety of conversations going on here. What we would say is we really need to zero in on the current biennium and that this is $94.9 million and weigh that against the other services and decisions that are going to be before this legislature. So it's our hope that we can put this legislation in its proper context, which is, you know, what are we going to do for our schools? What are our communities need? And how is this money being spent to support services? Now, there's a variety of options on the table, and we definitely want to partner with those of you who are entering into that conversation. I know there are difficult choices to make, but we really believe that there are best uses for our tax dollars and that this program should be weighed against them. So I do thank you for your time, and I also just thank you for entering into this complicated but important discussion.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen here on behalf of the Human Services Coalition of Oregon Tax and Revenue Committee. If you haven't received it yet, you soon will be getting recommendations from the co-chairs of our group, Human Services Coalition, about a number of issues that face your decisions this session. And not surprisingly, there are supporting current budgets, but also requests for additional funds for programs that have not been funded adequately. A lot of discussion in the building is about the K-12 budget, as well it should be. The Human Services Coalition fully supports full funding, the best funding possible for K-12, but also recognize that there are people that are vulnerable and struggling. The Senate president right now is down in Ways and Means, where I normally am at this time, talking about the need for mental health services. We agree. We also know that the assignment from the co-chairs of Ways and Means to the subcommittee was to cut $140 million out of the existing co-chair's budget, a really very heavy lift. It's for these reasons that the Human Services Coalition supports the elimination of gain share. I know that's you're considering a number of different options, but we're looking at the potential of an additional $95 million worth of revenue that could be, we believe, spent in a way that will be better for people that we are concerned about. I also want to echo Matt in saying that we know you have very difficult decisions, and as I travel from committee to committee all the time, really recognize that people are really digging deep into looking at the issues and trying to come up with the best solutions possible. But as we step back and look at the big picture, we're really very concerned about the human service needs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Thank you. Lori Wimmer.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Committee. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing 42,000 members of the Oregon Education Association, and apparently I'm a panel of one. Here to speak about gain share in very general terms, as well as in support of Senate Bill 57. Ever since it was enacted in 1993, the SIP program has resulted in loss of local property tax revenues to the education sector. The education community has had no voice in these decisions, unlike other local governments. While fees are set for local governments to receive in lieu of some of the abated property taxes, schools have not been formally similarly accommodated. When the legislature further developed this gain share plan to reimburse local governments losses through 50% of the SIP recipient employees' income taxes, the schools were again left out. Finally, whenever those same SIP recipients and enterprises receive preferential excise tax treatment through state-level tax breaks, the general fund is reduced, which thereby cuts resources available for a more robust state school fund in yet another way. According to the tax expenditure report, fully $3 billion of economic development tax breaks exist among Oregon's 378 total tax breaks. And I might point out it takes a simple majority to pass one of these breaks, but a supermajority to cancel them or suspend them. Because of this situation, Oregon has disinvested in its public education system year after year for nearly two decades. In reading the headlines, one learns that our class sizes are nearly the largest, our school year among the shortest, our absentee rates high, and our graduation rates low. The 78th Legislative Assembly is poised once again to fall short of fully funding our schools because of a lack of sufficient resources. So we are in support of gain share reform. Ideally, we too echo the panel before me and prefer that it be repealed outright. But if you can't do that, Senate Bill 57 is a great next option. We also proposed House Bill 2672, which was heard in the House Revenue Committee, which would reimburse the state school fund as a way to defray some of these losses. We know that Oregonians are getting jobs from the strategic investment program. We know that jobs are created in Oregon due to the strategic investment program economic stimulus effect. What we don't know, because it's not collected, is who is getting those jobs. We assume Oregonians. We don't know it. We don't have that data. So for the $95 million, if gainshare were canceled, you could create 1,050 teaching jobs. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Stern and Wendy Johnson from AOC and LOC. I should also add here that the sponsor of Senate Bill 129 is Senator Devlin, and he cannot make it today, but he is leading a work group on this subject that has a work product that is not quite complete, but it will be complete, he tells me, sometime next week. With that, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Haas, members of the committee. My name is Mary Stern, and I am here representing the Association of Oregon Counties. And AOC, as you know, represents all 36 of Oregon's counties. As partners with the state in providing services to the citizens of Oregon, counties feel the pain when the general fund to the state is impacted. However, because we understand the importance of economic development in this state, AOC's Legislative Committee voted unanimously to support Senate Bill 129, which provides reasonable and common sense changes to the Strategic Investment Program, or SIP, and the related gain share. SIP, enterprise zones, and urban renewal districts are the only major locally funded economic tools available in Oregon to create game-changing economic development for the state and local communities. These programs are critical to the economic vitality of the entire state and are for the most part funded by property tax abatement. I'd like to stress that SIP and Gainshare is the only actively used incentive program that requires the state to have skin in the game by sharing with counties that give up significant property tax revenues, income tax revenues raised from the employees of a SIP business. And as you could probably guess, AOC is particularly fond of Senate Bill 129 because it shares 10% of the total annual amount of personal income tax revenues attributable to a SIP project with fiscally distressed counties. And those dollars would go to Business Oregon. And AOC believes that regional solutions advisory committees comprised of public, private, and philanthropic leaders would be an ideal forum for determining the distribution of these funds. As we're all painfully aware, not every area of our state is feeling the benefits of economic recovery. This funding would go a long way to help jumpstart economic growth by providing money for infrastructure and other improvements in distressed areas. Although AOC has not taken an official position on Senate Bill 57 and Senate Bill 848, under our adopted principles, AOC would be opposed to reducing an eligible county's portion of the shared services fund to 30% as required by 848, or even worse, to nothing as required by Senate Bill 57. AOC understands the need to make modifications to the program, and we look forward to hearing the recommendations of the joint work group that's been considering these and the myriad of other issues raised in the numerous SIP-related bills this session. And I'll just say AOC stands ready to assist you in any way possible, and we encourage your support of Senate Bill 129.
Thank you.
Chair Haas, members of the committee, my name is Wendy Johnson, here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. You have my written testimony as well. The League's comments largely echo what the Association of Oregon Counties had to say. The SIP Gainshare program is one of just a couple of tools that cities have to bring economic development. And so it's a critical program. Not very many cities or counties are able to use it because the investment requirement is so high. You have to have $100 million or $25 million if you're in a rural area. But to qualify, then, your property taxes are abated for anything above those amounts. And so that means huge investments, and you're getting no property taxes for those amounts. And so, and yet you need to provide infrastructure and services as a city for those huge investments. And so that's been the trade-off. You don't have those investments and a city willing to take that risk unless you are going to backfill those amounts. And so it's a trade-off that's been there since 2007 that's actually worked. We don't want to lose that important program because it's such competition between states to get large investments. Cities, as you may know, 4 out of 5 jobs in Oregon are in the cities. And so we need to have cities that are able to provide the services and infrastructure. And property taxes right now are generally 60% of a city's budget. And so if you do an abatement, you're taking a huge chunk of that budget away. And so Gainshare has been the way to backfill that. As we look at the Gainshare formula that Senate Bill 129 provides, I understand that that's still being discussed on those details, and the league is not going to weigh into those details just yet. Senate Bill 129 obviously takes a portion off the top for economic development, and that's something we support because we do represent 242 cities, and that provides a benefit to the whole state and helps spur economic development across the state for the success that is happening in Washington County and other counties. It is the only program that the state has some skin in the game for the success, and so it's a program that we hope to continue. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
McCauley and Inga Deckert.
For the record, Jim McCauley, representing Washington County. Chair Haas, members of the committee, certainly appreciate being here today. I think the easiest way for me to start out is really to just take a quick look at both Senate Bill 57 as well as 848. Both are essentially the same or a similar version of dismantling a program, program that has become incredibly important to the state. As well as Washington County. And from our perspective, we view both SIP and Gainshare as an overall economic development tool or model. And it's something, honestly, that should be replicated and looked at for other investment opportunities that are in place right now. And that's a matter of looking at the Enterprise Zone program as well as urban renewal. And some kind of an effort to essentially get the state involved in local economic development in a full financial partnership, because as stated by earlier testimony, the only economic development tool that's in place right now is SIP Gainshare, and that physically has some state skin or essentially a financial role in that economic development future. For Senate Bill 129, we believe and have worked incredibly hard over the last several years. You've probably gotten tired of hearing me talk about Gainshare and SIP. I'd like to wipe those two words out of my vocabulary during the next session. We would love to see this issue resolved. I think 129 provides an excellent pathway forward. There's a tremendous amount of support statewide. Not just at the county commission level, but through different business organizations, through economic development groups, and other individuals that see this as value not just for a single county, but a value that provides opportunities for the entire state. The reason we're in front of you today is because we've outperformed what the original estimates were back in 2007. I don't think anybody could have guessed where we would be today. Certainly back in 2007, We knew we were going to be on the verge of some significant economic development, and had felt that gainshare provided that local incentive for government or for local governments to continue to sign SIP agreements. Hundreds of jobs were the estimates back then. Today, we're talking literally thousands of jobs, jobs that are incredibly high paying, and at least in Washington County, support a network of small business, medium-sized business, and others that are all part of a larger network of a program that has become incredibly successful. I think it's a sound program. I think gainshare itself is important, again, because it's an incentive to local government to continue to sign those SIP agreements, to attract investment and reinvestment in existing industries and manufacturing facilities in this state. Active SIP agreements to date cover paper mill in Clatsop County, a mix of wind generation facilities throughout Oregon, as well as Intel and Genentech facilities in Washington County. These have been the success stories, but it's also important to point out that there have been other conversations taking place currently and over the last decade about other types of investments in other counties, whether it be Lane County or currently in Columbia County, because without SIP gain share, we're not even in those conversations because we have no ability to compete with other states or other parts of the world that are trying to attract those same types of businesses. And I think that's critically important as we look to try to find a pathway that, essentially hits that sweet spot, a better balance perhaps than the way the gain share is structured at this point in time. Senate Bill again 129 adds a distribution of local revenue share to the state school fund, as well as to local schools and economic development and distressed counties across Oregon. And again, we believe that 129 provides an excellent pathway to try to close the close this issue before the end of the session. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Let me take Inga Decker first. Go to questions.
Good morning, Chair Haas, members of the committee. For the record, Inga Deckert. I'm here on behalf of the City of Hillsborough. The City of Hillsborough has worked closely with Washington County over the past several years on this issue and several different pieces of legislation. And so I concur with everything that Mr. McCauley just testified to. And I won't reiterate all that, but I would like to just emphasize a couple things for the record and somewhat in response to a couple things that we've heard in some of the previous testimony. From the City of Hillsborough's perspective, gain share as it was enacted in 2007 was good policy then, and it's just as good policy today as it was then. The fact that local jurisdictions play a fundamental role and a critical role in the state's economic development efforts and gain share legislation that was passed is in recognition of that role. Local governments take on financial risks in attracting and retaining companies here in the state that create jobs, and in the case of the jobs that Mr. McCauley was just testifying to, high wage family wage jobs in Washington County and others around the state. This is a statewide program that doesn't just impact Washington County, but other areas as well. From the city's perspective, one of the most important parts of Senate Bill 129 is preserving that partnership between the state and local governments. That was a fundamental principle in the gain share legislation, and maintaining that is critically important to the city. Just one other issue that I want to touch on, and that is we've heard discussion that sounds like it distinguishes between new jobs that are attracted to the state and jobs that are retained based on further investment in the state. And somehow I think an underlying that there's sort of an inherent judgment that a job retained is of less value than a new job that's brought to the state. And I think that kind of reasoning is fundamentally flawed. Having just gone through the recession that the state went through with the rest of the country, and places in rural jurisdictions know well what it feels like to have a large employer in their area close down a mill or something like that. I would argue that the loss of a job that had been there is not any less impactful than not getting the job in the first place. In fact, it's probably quite the contrary. So I guess I just wanted to put that statement on the record that the discussion between these two different types of jobs, I think in the end, a job is a job and someone either has it or they don't, and the job is either in the state or it isn't based on the partnership between the state and the local governments in retaining that job and attracting it. And so I think, you know, maintaining that aspect in Senate Bill 129 is important.
Thank you. A couple of questions, I suppose. There's no doubt that those Intel facilities helped carry this state during the recession. I think we've seen studies that Intel is now responsible for between 15% to 20% of the Oregon GDP when we measure that. So if there were to be another investment of that magnitude, can you give us the mindset of signing an SIP agreement with a Gainshare-styled agreement and without?
I'll be happy to take that, Chair Haas. Washington County recently signed a SIP agreement in August, unprecedented, $100 billion. Nothing like that has ever come before Oregon. I'm not sure how many other states have something that could even come close to it. You essentially have a 30-year anchor with a manufacturing sector with perhaps the most advanced research and development facilities worldwide within the industry, as well as a manufacturing sector within Intel that ranks in that same. There's nothing else like it. There's no question that our commissioners looked at Gainshare as part of how they were going to evaluate that SIP in the future. There were no guarantees, of course, knowing that each year we have to get approval from the legislature for payment. We have to also deal with a sunset in 19 if nothing changes. But there's no question it goes to how they frame that conversation and the type of decision-making that they ultimately made at the end of the day. I think they hoped that in good faith the legislature would find a long-term solution for Gainshare. And I think if they would have had the opportunity to physically write that in the SIP agreement, they would have done it. But there's no question it was part of it.
One of the issues, as you know, we've discussed in this committee before is the language from on retained jobs, which is sort of an elusive goal there. How does this legislation, or how would you suggest tightening that language to make it more specific?
I'll take a shot as well, and Inga can hopefully chime in as well. Senator Haas, Chair Haas. I think, as Inga described, the value of a retained job is just as important as a new job as it relates to the SIP. Neither one are there without the SIP investment. The process that Intel actually goes through for their calculation is they limit those jobs already and essentially tighten it up to the actual fabrication facility that's getting the investment. So as an example, in Washington County, the four fabrication facilities that are there, separate units essentially, only a portion of the two that are physically getting the investment or the active investment in the SIP are actually counted towards those towards those jobs. So they already take a pretty conservative view of tightening that number. I'm not sure if there's a better formula out there to make sure the accounting, and I think ultimately it comes down to the value and whether or not those jobs are there or whether they're not there as a result of the investment. And there's no question that if the SIP investment is not there, you lose not just the opportunity for new job growth, but you lose a chunk of the existing retained employment, which would be devastating, obviously, to this entire state.
Thank you. So I'm not questioning the value of the SIP process. I'm struggling to see, to understand why a county would turn their back on a SIP agreement if without gain share. I'm struggling with that. I think that there are counties throughout Oregon that would love the opportunity to sign SIP agreements, whether or not they were the beneficiaries of of gain share funds coming back to their county. Elected county commissioners throughout the state would love to spur more economic development locally, and would figure out ways to finance the infrastructure, do the things to support that type of economic development locally. So I'd love to spend more time with you guys outside of the committee digging into this issue some more, but I do not equate SIP program and gain share as being necessarily tied together. So that's just kind of where I am, Mr. Chair, but I'm open to persuasion, I suppose. So
comment.
Similar point. Yeah, Chair Haas, Senator Edwards, our commissioners don't want to be in that position, honestly. I think part of this comes down, honestly, to the partnership, really, with the state, having physical skin in the game. I think when you look at an economic development program in this state that is, I don't want to say solely, but highly dependent upon local governments to sign different tax agreements with investors or with companies for that investment, I think they'd like to see a little bit more support from the state financially, and I think that's ultimately what it comes down to for a share. I can't say, wouldn't even know if we had another SIP conversation with another company, 500 jobs or 1,000 jobs, if they're going to walk away from that agreement without gain share. But again, I can tell you that for the conversation that we just went through with the 2014 SIP that we just signed in August, it was part of that conversation internally, and it was important to it, even though they couldn't physically guarantee it. But I'm happy to have more conversation, of course.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we will have more conversation on this. obviously, as mentioned, there's a work group on this from both chambers, both parties, looking at this, and we'll meet up with them next week. Thank you both. And that clears our decks for today. Senator,
I was wondering if we could open up SB 793 to file a vote.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move that we would suspend the rules to go back to SB 793 for the purposes of two members who are absent for voting on the bill.
I'll go into a work session without objection on I will close public hearing on our three gain share bills, 848, 129, and 57. And I will open up a work session on 793 for purposes of allowing two members who are excused to vote, and which transmitted legislation to the Tax Credits Committee. Senator Bartschiger, how do you vote?
Yes.
Senator Riley, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay. Close the work session on Senate Bill 793. That bill goes to the Tax Credits Committee. Our public hearings are over. Our decks are cleared. We will adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.